The Money Show.
Small business.
Pablo Fatidis, founder at Auric Business Accelerator. Stress is a terrible thing. Stress can age you. Stress can make you feel terrible. And stress can really destroy your leadership team. And I think we're seeing probably quite a lot of that stuff happening right now.
We can, and we are, Bruce. And you know what? Stress also, if you think of a business as have, if a business is like a ship, and I love using that analogy, and stress is like a storm. When you sail a ship in a storm, it identifies all the creaks, the cracks, and the weaknesses in the hull. But it also does so for the leadership team and the crew. And I think what we are going through at the moment has been one of the single biggest challenges. So many business owners I'm speaking with right now are revisiting relationships. And when I talk relationships, I'm talking about business partnerships, relationships with staff, relationships with leaders in the business, relationships with managers. It's a very, very telling time as to how strong those relationships are.
And I suppose then it's time to fix those relationships and to really get the gaps filled. So what do we do?
Well, I want to tell you a story. There's a story.
Excellent.
And sadly, I don't know the origin of the story. I don't know who to credit it to, because it was found in a boardroom on a white piece of paper, typed up, and left there. Nobody knows who found it. What I do know is that the story is around 75 years old. And the story is titled, "Whose Job Is It Anyway?" And it goes like this. It's a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. However, everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody would not do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Now, it sounds a bit confusing.
No, not at all. It's magnificent.
The fact of the matter is no one took responsibility, so nothing got done. Nothing got done. And the reason for this, Bruce, is because governance, a word that is the last thing on the mind of any business owner. It sounds so corporate, or it sounds so kind of officious and government-like in so many ways. But governance is what gets things done. And without it, the likelihood of failure, the likelihood of destroyed relationships is very, very high. Yet seldom do we see it in play in the business.
Why is it? I mean, is it just because it's the soft stuff that you can't see, you can't touch, it doesn't immediately earn you a return, and only when things go so desperately wrong do you realize just how important it was?
It is, in part. In part, it's very much that. But, you know, there's so many different reasons, and I suppose it depends on personalities. Some of the most common reasons I've certainly seen is how you start the business and is how you build it and how you finish it. So if you think about it, you know, you start sometimes, let's say it is out of necessity. By definition, that means there's an enormous amount of pressure to get cash flow in. You need economy. You need to put food on the table. You need to feed yourself, your family. If you've employed people, you need to feed them. You need to carry costs and cover costs. And the start of a business like that is so frenetic in so many cases, because very often the idea that you started with is not what really truly actually works. And it takes a bit of time to figure that out. If you've done so with a partner and the two of you are banging away at establishing this business, the last thing you're thinking about is going through a formalized process of putting governance in place between the two of you. And when it comes to a place in a space where you have stress, or when it comes to the end of the game of the business, that lack of structure then tends to rear its ugly head. The other thing is that when you start a business and you start it in the early stages, so you and I are going to go into business, we will be we will suffer from our own biases. When I look at you, I'm looking for the finer elements of your ability, skill, and personality to make the business work, as you do so likely with me as well. And we then step into a relationship, building a business, and over a period of time, you suddenly realize, well, you know, Bruce is not really that good at that, and Pablo really can't do this. And those expectations become very, very difficult to bridge and discuss and resolve, because we've got a set pattern of behavior between us. We understand how we've always done things. And now, Bruce, you want to change it? That's not fair. What led to that? We've never agreed that. And that whole debate and that whole argument begins. About 3 months ago, I was speaking to an engineering services firm, and it's made up of, I think it was five partners. It was founded by the original partner, the founding partner, and all the other partners were brought on as part of a succession plan, because in the professional services space, you're largely going to sell by a management buyout. When COVID came, all of a sudden, there were people who were in the operations side of the business, the hard end of the business where you have to service clients and deliver to clients. And some of the older folk were in the so-called strategy side. When COVID came, it showed that team that the wrong people were in the wrong place, but nobody wanted to shift because the pattern of behavior, the habits, the relationship had been set. It was a completely futile exercise. They never, ever established governance up front, and it came to the surface.
At what point do you do this? I mean, when you're starting out and you're young and you're bold and you are careless and you are flexible and it's fun and you've got very little to lose, that's great. And that's your first year done. And by which time the patterns are developing and you kind of are in a zone together running this business. And then you're going to have the boring conversation on governance. But actually, no, you're growing and there's opportunity and off you go and you're going and you're firing and you're firing and you're firing and it's great. When does this conversation start? At the risk of being tedious.
Well, it starts after you have failed in the first business and you've failed because of it. So very often it starts because you've paid some big school fees. And very often what I see is when a group of business owners are on, let's say, version 2 or 3 or even 4 of establishing a business, all the old memories of what went wrong, which are mostly centered around relationships and people, let's say, motivate the discipline to get a governance process in place. And Bruce, it's so important because without it, you can't, for example, align the parties, align interests, align agendas. So let's go back to the example. You and I start a business. Now, if you know me at all, I have one main objective in starting a business, and that's to
create an asset of value. Sorry, do I know you? Yeah. Yes, I think I do.
And someone else might have, you might, for example, say, no, I want a business that's going to specifically and almost exclusively, primarily generate income. So you find this a lot in the services industry, especially the professional services space. So a group of attorneys getting together, or architects, or people in the advertising sector, you see a lot of it. The main focus over there is to generate income. But if I have an agenda to generate an asset of value, the way I would go about building that business and the way you would go about building the business to generate income would be fundamentally different. So the early stages of governance begin really with you and I sitting down as business partners and saying, why are we doing this? What do you want out of it? What do I want out of it? And that is essentially the job of a shareholder. We are the original first investors in the business. We need to be aligned.
That alignment is critical because then it makes, I think, once you've had those tough conversations and provided you've survived those tough conversations as you've created the rules of operating, makes the decision-making process easier. It makes the accountability and the responsibility and the lines of responsibility in this business that much better. I mean, it takes out some of the fun and the pizzazz and the flying by the seat of your pants, but at some point we all do have to grow up, I suspect, as we run our businesses.
Yeah, we do. We do. You know, in many ways, if you think about what the governance structure has, it you've got those three hats. So you've got the shareholder, you've got a board of directors whose responsibilities are very different, and then you've got the operating directors or managers in the business. And if you and I start a business, we're going to be all three. We're going to be wearing three separate hats over there. The problem with it, if we don't have that understanding and we haven't put the governance architecture in place or the framework in place, Bruce, in any business owner on any normal day is making upwards of 100 decisions. A few of them will be obvious because you will see him or her making the decisions, responding to customers, responding to staff, responding to suppliers. But by far, most of them really reside in the back of your mind. When you go about doing something, you are doing so with the end in mind, if you have a clear definition of the end, or you're doing so in response to a relationship. There are a lot of decisions that are being made, and they spread right across the strategy of the business. There are some financial decisions. There are decisions that impact brand, that impact the valuation of the business, that impact the income of the business. If we aren't clear on why we're doing what we're doing, and we aren't clear who is going to be making decisions in which part of the business, that's when things start to fall apart. Because eventually, if it's uncomfortable, I'll leave it to you. If it's easy, I might still leave it to you. Because if you tend to step in and make decisions and make things happen, over time, I leave it to you. And I've seen it not once, not twice, not a thousand times. Two people who started in business who were aligned in the beginning, but because it wasn't clear who was accountable and responsible for what, one individual action-oriented took most of the load, and over a period of time, that individual turned around and said, but hang on a sec, Bruce, it's not fair anymore. We started off equal. I'm doing 80% of the load for 50% of the value, and those relationships get very, very, very nasty. They break down brilliant businesses.
So we need to protect ourselves from this. So, I mean, in 90 seconds, what are the ground rules? How do we protect ourselves from ourselves?
Understand the three roles: shareholder, board of directors, and operational directors. Understand what motivates each of them, why they form those roles. And in that, you need to determine across strategy, across functionality, in other words, the day-to-day operational activities of the business, who is going to do what, and what does that mean in terms of meeting the requirements of those shareholders, you and I, purposefully building a business into an asset of value, for example. In that, we need to break it into a plan of action. You need to be accountable for your lot. I need to be accountable for my lot. We need to put a remuneration process in place. We need to put a timeline in place so that when you fail your responsibilities, I can hold you accountable. And likewise, you can do so with me. Then, Bruce, contract into shareholders' agreements and employment contracts. You won't regret it. I promise you, you won't regret it. You get your fair bang for buck from your partner. It holds you accountable and it keeps the business on track, whether there's a storm or none.
Pavlo Fitidis, the founder at Auric Business Accelerator this evening. The governance, the boring stuff, the adulting. And that's really important that you do take the steps that Pavlo has outlined to us this evening, because if you don't get all adult about it nice and early, everyone ends up playing like kids when things go wrong. And things will go wrong from time to time. How you survive it is entirely dependent on how you've set it up.